we gotta figure something out right quick here. Yeah? Now, y'all been sitting down a pretty good little while, so y'all just stood up and applauded. So stand up again and sit back. Shake it off. Shake your feet. Raise your hand. You know, I don't want you to get sleepy and fall asleep. Because we got to talk about something a little bit. All right? Thank you. And I got to tell you now, I come from cotton picking. And I picked more cotton today than I picked in a long time. I've been talking to folk and here and there about all kind of stuff. So I wanted to talk to y'all real bad. I want to ask y'all something before we get started so I know who I'm with. Let me see the hands of the people in here, and I want you to speak honestly from your heart. Please don't lie to me. How many of y'all believe our government was literally trying to kill us? Let me see your hands. Thank you very much. At least we don't have to have court or tribunal, do we? I want to keep asking that question because we want to charge the President of the United States, the government of the United States, the government of the state of Louisiana, and the government of the city of New Orleans with murder. Yes, sir. Now, somebody lied. My first question was, how many of y'all believe our government tried to kill us? Let me see your hand. Are we talking about something? We're having a conversation. And my second question was, what was it? Somebody tell me what the question was. What you gave up? Huh? Right. So we want to charge the President of the United States, the government of the United States, the government of the state of Louisiana, and the government of New Orleans with murder. Yeah. Now, y'all heard the difference that time? All the hands that were raised didn't applaud on the second position. Y'all might not think that's significant, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Now, here where we were. I want you to see this picture very well because this is important. This is very important. New Orleans is 13 feet below sea level. This is very important because we want to charge the government with murder. So here is our case. And we want you to bear witness, whether it's a friend of the court, and they call it an amicus, is that right? Y'all going to be asking, I come here to organize you to help us. I didn't come here to give you a religious sermon. I didn't come here to make you feel good. And it's somebody else's job to get your money. I'm going to back off. I want to talk to you about what y'all can do and what we need done. And I'm not speaking as Curtis Muhammad. I'm going to disappear soon. I can't do this forever. I'm an old man. I really want to have a serious conversation with you. We were 13 feet below sea level. See that? You didn't know I remember my subject. We're having a conversation. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
All right. We were 13, just living every day, 13 feet below sea level. We got a river, the mighty Mississippi on our west. We got Lake Pontchartrain on our, well, let's say west. It's where the river is. And east is the 24-mile Lake Pontchartrain. South is the Gulf of Mexico and the mouth of the Mississippi. Y'all picture it now. We really down there. Ain't no joke. Water 13 feet up over our head. And then they got a levee that go up about 12 feet above that. So the bottom of our bowl is about 26 feet from the top of the levee. Now the rivers and the lake and the gulf pushes water up on a normal rainy day to about 8 feet below the levee. Katrina, if it had hit, would have busted all the levees, probably most of New Orleans. If the eye of Katrina had hit, it'd all fall down. Everybody knew it. So they said, okay, let's evacuate the city. Katrina's coming. Stopped the trains 2 days before they gave the evacuation order. They stopped the buses, 36 hours before they gave the evacuation order. The plane stopped 12 hours. So you either had to be able to buy a plane ticket or drive, or have to ride with somebody, right? So 150,000 people get left in New Orleans to wait for the eye of Katrina to hit. And they sat there, and Katrina changed her mind, went about 40 miles out of the way and went on up through Mississippi. Anybody watch the news? Do y'all? I'm in court here in a tribunal to convict somebody of murder. Do I have to keep calling his name? Because I want to finish the conversation. If I keep calling his name, they'll bust the doors down and break this up. Do anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. All right. So let's go on with the conversation. Got a little code going on now. We got some understanding, right? We in court about somebody that committed murder. And we remember who it was, don't we?
Yeah.
All right. Now, don't you forget that. Because we in this court. Because you got to help stand up for this. See, there's some serious charges going on here. It's got some serious history. So, who's in the boat? It's important to know who's in the boat and how they got there. Because a decision was made to let the folk in the boat die. Katrina missed. If Katrina hits, they die the first round. But she changed her mind, go about. Anybody know the mileage? 40 miles? I just want to make sure I tell the truth in court. And I know I got witnesses because this was on national and international news, wasn't it? So now here we are. 150,000 folk that can't catch an airplane, ain't got no car or gas, to money to buy for gas. And the bus is gone and the train's gone. And you're dead. We'll give them 5-10% of folks just stubborn, didn't want to leave, didn't believe Katrina could hit them. They were magic people, you know. How many percentage y'all want to give them? Throw it away. 10%?
Yeah.
That just wanted to stay in town anyhow. All right? So we drop it down to 140,000. Will that get it 135,000? Is that exact? We want to be right, don't we? 135,000 people were there because they could not leave. Who could they possibly have been, and how did they get there? That many folk. Only 500,000 people live in the city. 70% of them are black, so that's about 400,000, right? They said 150,000 of them trapped in New Orleans. Now, look something. With everybody in town, all 500,000 of them in town, 40% of them can't read and write. Huh? They ain't never had an educated member of their family that finished college or became a master's degree person. Them stubborn people that had money to catch a plane and had a car to drive, we done get them away, right? That 10% gone. We talking about that 135,000 people and who they are. They are they who moved to the city after being put out of business by cotton pickers and sugarcane automation and all that stuff that people did on sharecropping. And them the same people that was working in the fields when we were doing sugarcane and cotton and tobacco and indigo. These were the crops that we raised, the slaves. And those people who worked in the fields, by and large, moved from there to the sharecrop. And then when automation came, they poured into the city. We've been kind of educating ourselves over and over again. That group of us who worked in the house and ran away. Y'all hear me? Y'all know what we're talking about? We're talking about a group of people in our society that we have negated historically. Is anybody hearing that? And now Katrina comes. In a town where apartheid is clearly defined and the lines are drawn. White, light-skinned Creole, dark-skinned Creole, black. Creoles that descends from three different slave masters. Spanish, French, and the English. So now we in this bowl. And we got a historical people sitting there, dark-skinned. Remember the pictures now. Look at the pictures on television, my people. They black, black, black people. Did y'all notice that? Wasn't no light-skinned people on the pictures. Now, this is important. It might not mean much to you. But y'all, some of y'all come from New Orleans. Some of y'all know about what I'm talking about. New Orleans is crisp, chaste. What we had before us on television, 40%, they said, the state, 40% illiteracy in New Orleans. Listen at the arithmetic. 40% illiteracy in New Orleans. 500,000 people in New Orleans. 150,000 people left. So if it's 70% black folks and 40% is illiterate, and you know that who they're talking about is black folks, then 40% of 400,000 is illiterate. That's the population after you remove the white folks. Y'all got it? That's all the people left. So 40% of that. Now the people that didn't have enough money to leave town, how much of that 40% you think make up that group? Probably, what you think it is? Sister said about 90% over here. I don't know if anybody got a calculator, but imagine that. Almost, somebody said all of it. But you're talking about a group of people who never, ever, no attempt have been made to educate them. Now, that's a history. That's how we got into that program, that young man that we were talking about. We took over school down there because the worst school system in the country is in New Orleans. No books for the kids, no lockers, no computers, all the stuff y'all assume up here, we didn't have it in New Orleans. That's how those people were treated. We didn't have enough qualified teachers to even teach the subjects that they give what they call a high-stakes test for. 75% of our boys who flunked the 8th grade high-stakes test ended up in the criminal justice system. 35% of our young ladies ended up in the criminal justice system. 75% of those that ended up in the criminal justice system, 75% of the kids that actually went to jail for a court, 75% of them end up serving time in prison. Prison is the biggest industry, as we know, and private industry is moving to prison. Private industry is moving to prison. We know that prisoners are legally slaves. You know, the Constitution condemns slavery, but it doesn't condemn slavery as prisoners. So we saw this new slave ship being the public school system. And these were the people that nobody loved. Not any of the stratas of the apartheid loved these people. Government didn't love us, they're the poor black folks. So they criminalized them in your front of your eyes. And we watched this happen. We watched them dying. And while they're dying, they are criminalizing them. They're further telling you to hate them, to don't have no empathy for these people. I mean, in the early stages, you saw people on the press panicking. They couldn't take it, watching the level of racism of emergency vehicles passing by people dying to go get some white person to move them to slavery, to safety. Don't help me go too far wrong. Don't let me go too far wrong. This is important to see this picture. You're in the bowl. There's a part of the levee that's weak. It is broken in the same spot two other times in history. And both of the two other times that it has broken, it was done so with dynamite. These things are on the record books. This is not something, in this tribunal, we can bring these facts forward. that 1927, there was a flood where there was a decision made to dynamite it. It's recorded. You go look. I think there's a book called Rising Tide. Rising Tide, about the flood of the Mississippi River in 1927, the Great Flood. Go read it. It'll tell you that the city officials and the state officials came together, and believe me, when the decision was made, it wasn't more than six of them. New Orleans leaders and state leaders, including the governor, signed to have the levees dynamite. But when that happened, Hoover went and grabbed the people before it got to them. Put them all in trains, put their cattle in there and their furniture, moved them out, and didn't lose a life. Got there before the storm, before the water hit. Now, 1965, Camille hits us. They make another decision. The dynamite the levee is almost in the same spot that they broke this time. By government order, state and local government ordered that it be broken. Johnson shows up the same night. LBJ with flashlight on his chin, because they didn't have enough light to show him. He's standing there with flashlight on his chin like that. Say, I'm LBJ, I'm your president, I'm here to help you. First day of Hurricane Camille, Bush riding a horse on the very case. Is it a horse or a horse? But anyway, he sit around 5-6 days. They wasted 2 days trying to decide who was going to tell him he had to come home from his vacation. I mean, 6 days. And everybody knew the records were there. The levees done broke twice before. This stuff done happened before. This is bigger than a four. It missed, but the water's in the city. The flood and people dying ain't got no food, water, nothing. People try to walk out. They force them back in, lock them back in the shelter. People try to break away to get across the bridge to get out of the water. They lock them down. I'm talking to y'all about this man who led his government into a murderous rampage in New Orleans. So that's where we come from, and that's how we come before you. A historical, representing a historical people who were brought here as slaves, who have never really been relieved from that bondage. They've moved from chattel slavery to sharecroppers, to tenement dwellers, to inner city dwellers without assistance either in jobs or welfare or Medicare. They kicked out of the public housing to fend for themselves. They weren't given jobs. We haven't been given an education. And somebody said, let them die. And Katrina changed her mind. They thought the water would get them and the people died at a rate that wasn't fast enough. And I understand they tried to speed it up by having soldiers and police kill a few. So that's what we've been through. And now we come in and saying, we want to build our home. We want to rebuild our homes. We don't believe our government is going to do that for us. We want to find our people and organize them to return home. We want to demand that everyone knows that the land that they occupied before they left belonged to them. That whether they are renters or owners, that property that they left, that space that they occupied belongs to them. I don't want to lose this little story I'm telling. I got a good friend of time, Chief. I think she done let me go over already. So I'm going to try to hurry up and get there. And I know you're tired. So here we are. A government that has demonstrated their hatred for us, a community, a world, a country that is filled with racism, a Jim Crow globalization campaign, or a globalization campaign led by Jim Crow people, or the Ku Klux Klan leading Jim Crow, leading globalization. However you want to do it, these are the same cats when we were down there trying to get the right to vote that were burning crosses and shooting at us and bombing and killing people and burning churches. They're the same people, and they're killing us now. And they tried it. So they didn't get away with it. Now they want to spread us in little Bantu stands all around this country. They put us in and want to put us in little spots to create some other dynamic. Experiment with disbursement of black communities, poor black communities. Man, what the hell is this going on? So the question is, where do we go to for help? Who are our friends? In a society where folks have been taught to hate poor black people, it's internalized to our own communities. We don't like poor black people, y'all. We got to teach ourselves again. We got to really spoon feed ourselves and learn how to love poor black people. How many of us, let me see the hands right now, don't lie. How many of us got a black poor family friend that sits at our table often and eat with us and play with our children and go to school with them and go to the same doctors and barbershops and stuff like that? Let me see your hand. That's what I'm talking about. That's honest. Thank you. Thank you. That was very honest. We got to do stuff like that. We got to make ourselves do it. I don't care if we're Latino, I don't care if we're Chinese. There's a relationship that has happened in this country with poor black people who were the former slaves of America, and they have been excluded, and we cannot free ourselves until we see about them people. Do anybody hear me? So we need you to rethink your priorities about being human beings. We want you to think about whether you're Christian, Jew, Gentile, as they say. You Muslim? Are you Hindu? Are you Yoruba? Are you traditional African? Are some of the religions of Mexico and the Indians? Whatever your belief system, if you have a political ideology, I guarantee you at the base of that ideology, if it's about humanity, will tell you that you are about the least of the least, the poorest of the poor. Anybody here a preacher? All right, anybody here know something about what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I didn't like the way y'all said, yeah. So that's what I want to talk about. There's some beautiful organizations here tonight. Get in one of them. Help one of them. We know them all. We know Eric and them here with the center that has sponsored this. We thank y'all. We really thank y'all. Tell me what it is. The Worker Center. What would we call this? The Worker Center?
The Labor Community
Strategy Center. We thank them. I don't know. It's all right. Our old folk can get away with stuff like that. Don't worry about that. We got young folk here, as you see, and old people, too, who've been working with us for a while around this question of quality education as a civil right. We think every child in America should be treated as a child of America. And we don't allow immigration laws in our education system, in our public education system. Just get them out of there. They don't belong there. Every child that's in America belongs to America. And America has an obligation to educate every one of them. So they're here. Quality Education as a Civil Rights Group is here. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a hell of a commitment right there, because the reason those people are sitting there in that building is because nobody ever educated them. And if you think we're just making up something, go study plantation education. And go study inner city education for children who come on welfare. Yeah, y'all got it. The poorer get, excuse me, the less education they're going to get. My time is up, y'all, but here's the work. Here's the work. We got some demands down there in New Orleans. We want our land back. Go find our children. The apparatuses that invited you tonight, they know where our children are in this town. There's some teachers here tonight. You got one of our children in your class. Somebody got some of our people in your house. We want to know where they are. We want you to bring them to discussions and read our file, www.communitylaborunited.net. Again, communitylaborunited.net. It's on the material that they're giving you. All the stuff that we've written is there. So we want our land. If they got a hotel on it, it's our hotel. We want all that money they collected. They were showing them black babies dying out there, and folk from all over the world were sending us money to the FEMA people and all them other people up there belonging to the government. All that tax dollars. They were doing it because they got caught trying to kill us, and it was guilty money, and they threw it out there. $50 billion, $60 billion, I don't know what it is. Y'all keep up with the money now. We need some transparency. We need a Bush watch. We need to watch everything they do with this money, because that's our money, and that's the other charge for embezzling poor folks' money.
They embezzling our money, spending it on rich neighborhoods, condos and casinos and oil rigs out in the Gulf. They already doing that. Y'all got to go get your congressmen, make them tell us that they're spending money. Now look, they done get done one of the nastiest things. Y'all got to get mad about this one. They done took away, what's the name of that law? Somebody holler it. They come up there named after a man where they can take all your protections for being a worker away. What is that? Too many of y'all saying it, but it's that law. That one that they suspended. Yeah, they suspended. And you can go in there, you ain't got to have no protection because the EPA stuff don't count, OSHA don't count, salaries don't count, wages, I guess that's the same stuff. But don't nothing count. They just do what they want with a worker, and they give it to Halliburton, and he didn't have to bid for it. You see that stuff there? You see all that stuff that's going on there, y'all? So we want to charge them with criminal act of embezzling monies and funds that were set aside for the poor black folks who were dying, that they left to die. We got to trace down what percentage of that money that 150,000 people are getting. Now, they ain't done none yet, but the white hotels are up and running. The rich part of town is up and running. Some of the casinos is up and running. White folks' construction companies are in there getting contracts as subs to Halliburton. How you say that man's name? I'm out of here, y'all. But look, you got to get busy with this thing. Thank you. Well, I'm sorry. This is 1 minute. Stay standing. Stay standing. Let me tell you something pretty. Today is Fannie Lou Hamer's birthday. Now, let me see the hands of people who know Fannie Lou Hamer, who heard of her before, who know who she is. Well, she was a freedom fighter in Mississippi along with me. She was about my age. She was a freedom fighter down in Mississippi. And the day was her birthday. Boy, I wish to my Fannie Lou Hamer. Who know that song? Anybody in here? Do anybody know the song? Come on, if you know it, come on with it. If you know it, come on, get it now. If you know it, come get it. Come get it. Come on, give it to it.
But I can't sing
those. No, come here. Hit it. 2-3 lines.
Fannie Lou Hamer. Fannie Lou Hamer. Fannie Lou Hamer. Fannie Lou Hamer. She came by here, but she didn't stay long. Helped to turn a few things around.
Yes,
sir. Cancer took her body, but the struggle got her soul. Now we lay her body in the ground.
Thank y'all very much. Thank y'all very much.